Hello and welcome everyone to a mystical journey to the Sacred Sites Global Summit, where we will journey to beautiful sacred sites with healers, shamans, scientists, doctors, wisdom keepers, and coaches to gain wisdom and healing to self, the collective, and our divine Mother Earth. During the course of this event, you will learn that a sacred site is not only an external place or structure, but also our own body. You may have heard of the term, your body is a temple. Therefore, we will also journey inwards to access our internal sacred sites, for example, our sacred heart. You will hear experts talk about their own healing journey and the work they're doing to raise awareness and consciousness of individuals, the collective, as well as raising the vibrations of our great spiritual mother, Gaia, to create more joy, peace, and abundance for all sentient beings on our beautiful and divine planet, our home. I'm your host and the creator of this event, Ami Sohi. And before we begin, I would like to take this opportunity to thank Jocelyn Starfeather for her tremendous mentorship and guidance during the creation of this summit, without whom I would not be able to present today. I'm also very grateful to all my family and friends for their unconditional love and support throughout my journey. And last but not least, I'm very grateful to all of you for taking the time and having the courage to be here today. So thank you. Without further ado, I'm very excited and thrilled to present Cornelia. So Cornelia, has been blessed with supportive parents, a study in business economics, and a starting career in the financial world. She quickly realized economics wasn't her field, and she went back to study medicine. This change of direction resulted in a wider shift of perspective. She discovered her passion to encounter different cultures and started a journey to her personal karmic path. She learned new healing techniques and studied the treasures of her ancestors in India, Tibet, the Andes, the Amazon, and the savanna of Africa. She wanted to find a way to integrate the healing techniques from all these different sources. She did dream of the perfect family and gave birth to two beautiful children from her marriage. However, she realized soon that she had to make a choice for a life in Vienna or a life following her passions abroad. From this realization, a new life for the two children began. Her big love and higher calling was healing to work on different levels. Her passion for the plant world and energy work took shape. Who would have thought that it would bring her to Africa? For the last 12 years, she has been living in Tanzania between people from the Maasai and Meru tribes, learning from them, but also bringing medical and educational support to women and children in need. Through the running of her NGO, which she founded together with her mother, Africa Emni Alama, and while working as a natural healer, shamanic practitioner, and medical doctor, she faces many challenges, but also experiences much joy in her life. Cornelia's topic for today is the sacred space of the Messiah on the foot of Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. Welcome, 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 Cornelia. It's a pleasure and honor to have you here with us today.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you for inviting me and the Messiah.
You're most welcome. So, Cornelia, my first question to you is, you know, why Africa? Why did you choose Africa?
You know, for me, life is not only about choosing, it's also about following. And this step that I took to go to Africa was actually following a call that I felt when I visited the place for the first time. My mother had started the project there. I visited her after she opened the first hospital building. And I knew this is one of these crossroads in my life. where I can make a choice. And actually, it was no choice because whenever I felt this call, I knew I cannot choose, you know, I have to go. And I knew that it was the right thing. For me, I was a little bit doubtful because with my two small kids that were 3 and 4 years at that time, I took responsibility for them also to move to this country, to the unknown. But I trusted. And yes, now I'm here. I'm still here. I would not have thought it would be so long. And now I would wish it's much longer.
Oh, wow, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, I love Africa too. My first experience was of Africa in Tanzania. You know, just amazing, amazing place. So, what did you learn from the Messiah in the years you've been working with them?
From the Maasai, I actually learned a lot. Not only from them, but also through dealing with challenges, with them, I would say. I learned a lot for myself, for also the organization as such that I'm running now. I learned, and this is, I think, the most important thing for all of us. On this path, I learned, or I continued learning to love. And this is what touches me so much of being here, because these people, they live with the community. There is not one person that is important. It's always the clan, it's always a togetherness. And I think in the Western countries, we have lost a little bit this feeling of responsibility for each other. And I learned that there is no happiness if we don't share. Not only because I work for an NGO where all is about sharing and giving and helping, but also because when I observe the people, they would always try to help their neighbors, even if they themselves don't have enough. I was very touched once. A woman came to me to the clinic and she really did not have anything. And I thought, okay, another woman, she wants help. And she did not ask for herself. She was coming herself, not having enough. She was coming for her neighbor who was even poorer than her and was asking for help for her. And these moments for me, they are so touching because I learn things that we actually have unlearned in our culture in Europe. Another thing that I learned was also, I must say, facing challenges and not losing trust in the people. I always, when I work as a doctor, when I work as a healer, when a patient comes in, I always see the Buddha of this person coming in because I want to work with the part that is strong, that has the capacity of healing. I don't look at the disease. I look at the light that I can see in the person. And if I can manage to see it, this light can also grow. And this is also then when I put my medical doctor coat off, which I don't have. But if I go out of my clinic and I'm dealing more with the organizational administrative work, and people are coming towards me and also bringing challenges. You know, Maasai are very proud. You know, they sometimes don't want new things to be introduced. If you help a woman, they would say, "Why don't you help me? Why this woman?" So it's not always easy also to make some changes in their cultures through education. And you find resistances. And for me, I learned still to see this light in the person that is coming, even if he brings me challenges. So I try when I face these problems, not to try to counterattack and to try to push my own opinions through, but I want to learn respect, and I'm still in the process of it because sometimes it's really difficult. But I want to respect their opinion. I want to understand why this behavior comes from, and still continuing believing that he will understand if you just trust that the path you are going is the right one. So this has brought me some inner strengths because it's not always easy. And working with indigenous people, it's not always, oh, they are holy and they know everything, and not at all. You deal with a lot of very basic emotions, and not to lose the joy, not to lose the love towards the people, and to continue and to trust that it's worse for the next generation. This is also something I learned, and it's also for me about unconditional love, because if you get a thank you from someone because you do something, it's quite easy, it's something we all like. But to do still having resistances and challenges, this is part of unconditional love you can learn with children, you can learn, or I could learn in a lot of situations from the Maasai. And then there's one very important aspect that has always been crucial to me, and this is the connection to nature. Maasai people are still completely grounded in the space, in the nature, in earth itself, where they are living. It's so beautiful to see the fearlessness they have when walking through the savannah. They say, we are part of nature. Why should our mother nature not protect us? Why should animals like snakes attack us if we are part of their system? So they don't see themselves separated from nature. And this is what gives them strength, and it holds them a lot. I could talk a lot about their connection to nature, about the healing plants they are using, about the ritual they're doing with nature. But I learned that through this connection with nature, they also love themselves, because they get from nature this unconditional love. And whoever gets unconditional love can also have self-love. It's just very difficult, for instance, when children are grown up in difficult situations where they did not have supportive parents. It's very difficult for them to have this self-love. I was very blessed to have a very nice childhood, but there are, and even in the Maasai land, there are a lot of children that don't have this support from their parents. And nature gives them what they did not get in the youth sometimes, and helps them still to find the love in themselves, because nature will always love you. And if you connect with nature, there's no judgment, there's no you are good or bad, or you have to achieve this or that. When you really start communicating with nature, there's always understanding, and there's such a deep connection. And I found that this is what makes the Maasai so strong. There was once an old man, he was telling me, I have nature, the whole environment is my home. I don't need a big house. I don't need all these things, because they will never be as beautiful as nature. And I'm part of it. And he really felt this being part of something bigger and not needing to compensate by other things. Yeah, so these are some of the many, many other things that I learned actually.
Wow, amazing, beautiful. I mean, yeah, just realizing, the realization that you're part of something bigger, and living in the savannah. I mean, these indigenous tribes, how they're so connected
It
to
is
the
much
Supreme Mother.
easier. Yeah, it is actually easier if you are in the savannah, if you have in front of you the Kilimanjaro, this wildness. It's a very special, I would say, magnetic field that surrounds you, where generations there have only been animals, nature, and Maasai living in harmony with the nature being there. It is a resource. That's also what I often tell guests that are coming and visiting us. It is not something you can just watch in a video. You can watch animals, you can look at Maasai jumping, but to really feel it and to reconnect to the earth is something that can be what can be really helpful to come and to feel what we have actually lost, these roots. You know, Africa is the is where we all originally come from. And this is what I do feel, this nature connecting us to our roots. It's very precious.
Yeah, definitely. Very precious and very healing, as you
Yeah,
mentioned. You know,
yes,
how
definitely.
our Supreme Mother can help us. I mean, she's like, you know, you mentioned, or the Maasai, they say they, why should they be afraid, you know, of their mother who loves them unconditionally, loves us all unconditionally. And
Yes, and
very
it's not only the
interesting.
mother, it's not only the mother, it's also all the other elements. It's the earth, yes, but it's also the mountains, it's the minerals, it's the plants, it's even the water is so precious for them because they don't have any. If there is few drops of rain falling, they will just appreciate it so much.
It's just fascinating to see, you know, people how they react when when we don't have so much of something. I mean, they have so much because they have the whole of nature with them. But it's interesting how the perspectives are very different to how we in the West, you know, think about things, water and the way the tribes in Africa, you know, think of water and respect water.
Yes, and how they use these elements to integrate them into their life as healing rituals. So Maasai do have a lot of rituals, and this is something that is really precious in this tribe, like in many other indigenous tribes. They have still these special festivities where they, with the help of the elements, they go into new steps in their lives. It's something that we have lost a little bit because for us it's kind of a routine that we give a baptism and then marriage. In Maasai tribes, it's really a very strong importance nowadays still. You have the initiation to be a warrior. You have the initiation when you become an elder. So all these steps into a new life stage is also celebrated in a ritual. And all these rituals are supported by the community. So for the Maasai, there is no life as an individual. And this is explainable out of their history. If they would not have held together in difficult times, they would not have been able to survive as a tribe. So these rituals are always watched and supervised by a group of elders and a community, the whole community coming together for the birth of a child, for the marriage, for the funeral. And these steps do give a lot of strength to the people. And what I realized, and where, because you were asking me what I learned from them, I learned to use these rituals in my only daily life. The rituals, they do not only consist of big ceremonies. Rituals are sometimes very small things, sitting around a fire. The fire is what unites us all. It's like what every tribe is sitting around in order to talk about what happened during the day and release the problems into the fire. They do it automatically every evening, sitting around the fire. Everyone will tell what he or she experienced during the day. And this is also a time where men and women will sit together because for many other things, when they're eating, they will separate. But during the evening time at the fire, they will share the experiences. And when there are problems, they will talk about it. They will talk about their old stories and transmit it to the younger generation. So the fire ritual is a very important one, but not to say we make now once per year a big fire, but incorporating it in daily life every day. Like us, we could incorporate it by having a candle, sitting together with our family members, and just after dinner, having 5, 10 minutes to share about what we have experienced, and if something was difficult, to blow it into this candle so that it may be transformed. Very easy. It's just a matter of understanding that this symbol of the fire has a big strength. And if we take this time and if we open this sacred space for it, we actually enter into a field that has been prepared by many indigenous people already because they are doing it on a regular basis, always. And we just need to step into this field, and it will have this strength of quick transformation that the fire has. Or water as another element. If we look at water in our countries, we shower, we use it, we wash the floor. For us, water is something that we even don't realize anymore, that it is a very precious element. For the Maasai, as I said, this is a very scarce resource. It has a lot of value. So water is used together with some milk in order to bless people. So when they do a blessing, the elders to for whatever is necessary, and they will do it quite often, they will mix some milk with water and sprinkle it over the people, invocating, putting some prayers and giving the water a special direction. But it is sacred. And for me, living here, for me, a glass of water has changed its meaning. When I take a water and I drink it, for me, I feel that there is the element water coming into me, and with it, so much cleaning and harmonizing. And for the Maasai, this is still something that is very much into their tradition because it's not available always. Small kids, when you drive on the road, they will ask you for a bottle of water. They don't ask for big things, just for a bottle of water because it's so precious. And I learned to see this blessing that can come from water again. And I use it myself through very simple acts when I take a shower or when I drink some water. And it's very easy to incorporate. Also, I was really touched when the first time I got a blessing from the Maasai and they handed me over a piece of grass. And they said, "This grass is a blessed one. We blessed it right now. And keep it because it is helping you. It will stay with you. And it's what we have and what is the most precious thing that we can give you." And I was like, wow, just few pieces of grass. Why? Because when there's grass, it means there's rain. And when there's rain and grass, they can feed their cows. And if they can feed their cows, it's when they can survive. So the grass has this very big importance for them. But it's so simple and still it's so much appreciated. So these are things to integrate the elements into daily life, or if I look at them, how they respect Earth. They live in these mud houses. These houses are made out of Earth. And one woman has been telling me once, she said, "This house is like my connection to the Earth. I live with the Earth. I am in the Earth because my house is Earth." And the women are responsible to build these houses. So they create out of the earth, they create these houses that are very comfortable inside, very simple, but they are protected inside and they feel this strong connection with the earth. And they would walk for kilometers. And for them, walking is not making them tired because they don't run. They would not rush. But when walking, when a Maasai is walking, he has a very strong ritual of making steps at his path so that he can walk for hours and make big distances because there is no other way of moving forward. So during this rhythm of walking, they are also connected to the earth. And for me, it was just reminding me, yes, every step that we are doing is connecting us with the earth. It's just a matter of being aware of it. It's so simple and we can integrate it. There's no need of big rituals, you know. We don't need to start jumping like the Maasai. We don't need to behave like Maasai, but we can learn so much in the small things. If you see them again, if you remember that these elements are here to protect us and to nourish us.
Yeah, beautiful. Wow, beautiful. Yeah, I just feel like, especially in the West, you know, we're moving away from the simple things, moving away from nature. And now it's time to reconnect, you know, and remember, really remember who we are. So connected to all the elements. Yeah. Simple everyday rituals which we can integrate into our lives and make our lives, yeah, more joyful and abundant. Yeah.
You know, Amy, you were asking me just before if I would like to do a meditation or something afterwards, and I told you that I have actually, I don't know. Let us see how it develops. But if we have time at the end, probably it would be nice to give a small ritual for integrating these elements into our body. There is a beautiful rite from the Munaiki, which I have been receiving, and that I could give to our community here. It's the bands of protection or the bands of power, and it is a rite that is also very much connected to the Maasai and the elements. So if you want, and we have time, we could do this later.
Yeah, beautiful. I would love for you to do that. Yeah, I'm sure the audience would really appreciate it. Yeah, thank you, Cornelia. So you know, you deal with so how do the tribes then deal with health problems, you know, when hospitals are so difficult to reach?
It is a big challenge. It is a very big challenge, especially for acute problems, infections, accidents, mother-child care, giving birth. It is Maasai life expectation is reduced because of these acute diseases. But if we look at more the chronic diseases, then I must say that Maasai have found ways to heal, to treat themselves that are actually very precious and where we can learn a lot. So I don't see with Maasai people a lot of chronic diseases like the metabolic syndrome, diabetes, high blood pressure. These are not diseases you will find, or cancer even. Maasai do suffer from infections, asthma, because of their smoke in the huts. In terms of chronic diseases, they have a very healthy approach. They actually focus on staying healthy. They put a lot of attention to the prevention of disease. They have every day their healing soup. It's a special soup where they put, well, actually, it's a normal soup with a little bit of meat, very few. And some fat of animals and some few vegetables and bones. And then they put roots and the bark of plants inside. Sometimes it's 3, 4, 5 times of bark, and they will let it cook. And every child, everyone in the family will drink from this soup first, because it gives them strength. It has healing powers. It is for the cleaning of the body. So they take these things in order to stay healthy. In another way, also, they go to very special healing retreats. So once per year, a clan would come together and decide to go for this retreat. There are certain times in the year where they will go for this type of cleaning retreats, where they go and they are not allowed to touch water. They only go with some meat, with cows. And once these cows are finished, they will stop the retreat. So this lasts 4 weeks. They go to a very remote place, men, women. I have once joined them, even children were there, one child of one of our schools that was sick with lung problems. So they go there. They are not allowed to touch water, but they are allowed to drink water if it is cooked as a medicine. So it's a decoct, it's a very strong, brownish, very spicy fluid. I would say that you drink a lot. It makes you a little bit of diarrhea, some vomiting. And later, after 2, 3 days, after you are cleaned, it's giving you strength and helping you to build up the body. And on the other side, they make this healing soup again, and they will eat meat. But that's all, nothing else. And this for 4 weeks' time. And what the Maasai say, if they come home from this healing retreat, they will not get sick for the whole year. So it's also a matter, a way of staying healthy is to clean your body on a regular basis. And then I must say, the way how the Maasai are eating is actually sometimes I realize that they don't have enough food. And this is very, very sad also to see. And this is also why I'm so thankful that the children in the schools, in our schools, they get enough to eat. But at home, sometimes they have to skip one meal. You know, it's not that a child will get a meal 3 times a day. So automatically, their body is used not to eat all the time. So they will have the time of resting for their intestine. It's like an intermittent fasting. You know, it's definitely more than 18 hours. Sometimes they don't get food. And this is just because they don't have it. And on the other side, this can be also healthy for them, as it's cleaning and it's preventing diseases through this aspect. And if you look at traditional food they will eat, there's not a lot of sugar, not a lot of carbohydrates, but a lot of milk, which where the milk of the Maasai cows, it's you can't compare it with the milk we get here in Europe. They eat a different grass. They walk a lot. They don't eat any corn themselves, so the composition of the milk protein is different. They don't have milk allergies as such, because this milk has a different constitution than the one that we get here. It's not pasteurized. It's often used as fermented milk. They have these big calabashes where they put the milk, they smoke the calabash before, they leave it for 3 days, and then it's fermented. It's very healthy for the intestine and for regenerating the microbiome. And they do not eat too much, as I said, and not mixing carbohydrates and meat at once. So it's easier in the way how they digest the food. So this is one thing that keeps them healthy. On the other side, there's no problem of obesity. There's a lot of exercise that the people are doing in nature. As I mentioned before, the walking, the regular walking that they do. They also take the necessary rest in their lives. They do have a very good rhythm in their life. They sleep when the sun sets, They start waking up with the sun, and it repeats every day. Even the work rhythm is going with the animals, with the cattle. So there is a very healthy way how to live in the rhythm of their own body and with nature and with the environment they are around. So these are all things that are really helping them to stay healthy. And not to forget, and this is something that I see in many indigenous people, for them, illness has always to do with a disharmony within the community, within themselves. So if someone gets sick in a clan, they will ask, what is wrong with our clan? They will go to a Maasai healer. There is those healers, they will give them medicines, and then there are the spiritual healers that give them advice, that go up into the mountains to ask for advice and come back with an answer and give them advice what to do and how to change in order for this person to be able to heal. So they understand that a sickness of someone is not only an isolated thing for this person, it has to do with the whole community. They also ask themselves, what is wrong with me? And they ask for advice, but they also ask for healing through higher forces. So they will start with rituals. They will be given certain things to do in order to get better again. And this is also about sometimes to share with someone, to slaughter a goat and eat it together. So there are very clear instructions they will get. And it is very much connected to something else than just the physical disease. They see that the plants that they are taking is not just the chemical inside, it's the spirit of the plant that is healing them. So even if they go for chants, they have these very beautiful dances. They do this in order also to get healing for a certain person. So they understand that illness is not a physical phenomenon. They understand that it's something concerning the whole community and something that is connected to another dimension, and they do the healing on these dimensions. And this is something very, very strong, and it helps them a lot. But where I see the biggest challenges are, and this I told you, is more the acute diseases where they do need the help of medical institutions. And that's why we came there, and that's why we are working there, because it's always about integrating both. And this is for me the joy working there is to have on one side the normal medical clinic where I can look for an ultrasound, where I go to the lab, where I have a dentist and an eye practitioner and a medical doctor working. And on the other side, having the whole treasures of the natural strength that we have from this place, the plants, the energetic methods. I do rituals sometimes with patients. It's very, very strong and important if you combine the both.
Definitely. It's very true what you're saying, the combination of the two brings the harmony. And I love the way they really look out for each other. If someone is sick, it's not his or her problem, it's the problem of the whole community. And
It is.
how do we resolve it as a whole? And an issue for the environment as well. So they look at not just the person themselves, but the whole environment and how
Yes.
we're all connected, and everything's interwoven. Very beautiful way of life.
One of our guides in the Maasai Lodge, we built a lodge on the foot of Kilimanjaro, the original Maasai Lodge, and there we are welcoming guests. And one of our guides, who is talking a lot with guests, he was telling me, I talked with many of my clients and our guests, and actually they do have rituals. They do have a lot of rituals, even in their lives. But I have the feeling the rituals don't have so much strength because they don't have the community where they do these rituals together. Yeah, they make their own prayers, they bless their food. There's a lot of people who are doing rituals for themselves as individuals, but it's not the whole community that comes together to do it. And this is, for me, was really a very wise observation, because he realized that he would not like to eat alone. He would not like to pray or to chant alone. And even to tell stories, he would not like to sit with a book and read a story. He wants to listen to the elders that tell him the stories. And yeah, so we are actually not too far away from all these rituals, but it's just a matter of coming together. And I realize also with the shamanic groups, I am together, like the Shamans Directory or the Four Winds. So there's different groups that come together that the global community that we can create through online meetings is helping us to reconnect, that even if we don't find a community close by, we can still find a community on a broader level, like here with your conference, to come together and to celebrate and to understand how important it is that we join hands and that we sit together on one fire.
Wow, very powerful. Yeah, the power of the many, the power of the community,
It is.
yes.
And of the many with the same intention.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I mean, when you pray alone, it doesn't have that effect, the same effect as if there's a group of 10 people
It's
chanting the
different.
same
It's
prayer.
not,
It's like tenfold and it goes out
you
to the
know, you
universe.
must, we in our lodge, for instance, in the evening when there's sundowner, we always welcome all the Maasai to dance with us. And if you have then 15, 20 Maasai in their chants, in their dances, and you stand there in the middle, you feel such a strength. But it does not come from them, it comes from down, from the earth. It's like if they would strengthen the place through their chants, they are activating something. And this is for this actually the Maasai are known for how high they can jump, how they dance, but it has a deep spiritual grounding. It has a meaning for them. It's a ritual that they do often. Whenever they meet, they will start chanting and dancing, and the woman will dance and sing. And the both woman and man then coming together, it gives a very special strength, because these women with their very clear voices, and then the man with the very deep voices is really like yin and yang coming together. It's beautiful. And this is something that's why we actually built this lodge, because we want people to be able to experience these strengths and to be guests and to take something so that you can get into resonance.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure there's so much healing as well
It is.
in this gathering, you know, in this dance. Yeah.
I
Yes.
heard once a Maasai telling me, you know, actually, we need language to communicate. And language always will transmit something that is different of what you mean. It's so difficult to use the right words. But nature doesn't need any language to communicate. They communicate, but on a completely different level. And we know that trees are communicating, that they are sending information from one to each other. And he said, I think nature is much more intelligent than we are. They have ways to communicate that we do not have. And the singing of the Maasai And this dancing of the Maasai is one part of this non-community, this communication that is outside of words. And if they sit around the fire, very often they just sit and look at the fire. It's not that every time always someone is talking, but there is some exchange that is happening through just being together in silence. Actually, this is also something that I learned a lot. Oh, there are so many things.
I know. I also recently have become aware of the power of silence. It's because you're exchanging, if you're sitting with someone in silence, exchanging energy, beautiful energy between you. There's, silence. We always sort of in the Westing, oh, if there's silence, it's uncomfortable. But it's so beautiful just to be with someone in silence and ex just exchanging the beautiful energy between each other. Beautiful. So, Cornelia, I'm intrigued to know how you see your role in their space as someone, coming from a completely different culture and background. How was it for you when you first arrived there? Were you accepted straight away? So what's your experiences been?
I must say that I did not have any difficulties to be accepted. As a medical doctor, you always open doors. I was working from the very first day there in the clinic, and if you give help to people and give medical advice and they feel better and they get improvements, then this is always a door opener. So it made it easy for me through my work as a doctor. And it was also very precious for my organization because through these patients, I got so deep in the problems that they reported to you. And they were very open to tell me their challenges, that I could also more easily find out where does our organization need to go? What are the needs that we have to serve here in the community? So I never faced challenges about being accepted. My role was, I see myself as someone who is guiding them on their path. And this is also the basic principle of our organization, not to do things for them. To work with a team of local people, we don't have any employees from abroad, and to help them to get into their next step. For a child, it is probably to have a school education. For a woman, it can be to get a little bit of food for the next day, or to give them a small support that they can create their own business. For someone else, it can be an advice. There is no one role that you play. It's being there and giving what feels right for the moment. And sometimes, even at night, if you then recapitulate your day, you have the feeling, did I do this right or wrong, or could I have done something different for this person? Because sometimes you have to say no. It's not that you can always give and do. Sometimes you just listen and then you can say, we don't have the money for this, then you ask yourself, or I ask myself very often, is it the right thing? Should I have found other ways for this person? And what I learned is to really trust myself, that the feeling I have, the way how I'm guided in this process is what is important for this person also. So that we are all in one field and I just fulfill what has to be done. And not being myself the doer, but saying, okay, I just transmit what in this moment feels right for me. And in order to be able to do this, my most important role is actually to take care of, about myself also, that I feel good, that I have joy, that when I do the things, I do them out of love and not because I want something or someone said this is important. So this is actually my biggest role, to stay in my own strengths and middle, and then everyone else can do the same. It's not that I have the feeling this or that is my role, you know. And it changes every day, you know. It's one day when I'm in the Kinder Villa with our kids, the orphans, I'm mother. The other day, I'm a very cuddly, very sharp person that has to be telling a teacher that he did not do the right thing. Or if money is lost, I have to be very clear and I have to be very strict. So I think these are all different aspects that you have, that a personality has, and I learned to not to identify myself to this or that role, but to stay in my middle, so to be able to act in the proper way and not to be in a role. Because if you are in a role, you are already trapped, and you don't have the freedom to act spontaneously. So actually, my biggest challenge is not to play a role or not to be in a certain role, but to be myself and to, in this, sticking to my own inner strengths, also being the right channel for whatever wants to come through and help the community in this area.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, when we're grounded, yeah, the energy just flows into the various tasks or roles that we have for that day. Yeah. And not to
And it's so
become
beautiful,
the
you know. If I so often I'm asked, okay, what is your vision and where should the organization go? And now you have 2,000 kids that you take care of from poor families. How will it continue? And I say, I don't know. Does a tree know how it will grow? We grow organically. We grow with every person from abroad that is supporting us. And I don't know. But what is important for me, that what is done now is helping this one person in the hospital, in the schools, in the social projects, wherever they come towards us and are sent to us.
Yeah. Wow, beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing your stories, your experiences, and also the experiences, you know, of the valuable wisdom of the Maasai tribes, you know, that you're they're working together with. It's just amazing, beautiful, and how we all connected and how everything is interconnected, you know, to the whole. Yeah, is there anything else you want to? I know we mentioned the journey, the ritual. So shall we do that now?
If you want, we could do this very spontaneously now. Let me just fetch my pie stone because I did not prepare it. It's there, and I
Okay.
come back because this I need for the ritual. Yeah.
Yes, sure.
So I have brought a candle here for me, and this is the pie stone. This is the stone that I use for rituals, for initiations. And I would just ask those people who are not interested, just also to not to continue. And whoever would like to receive this rite of the Munai Ki, which comes from the Andes, which is a rite that connects us to the elements, to the earth, to the water, the fire, the wind, and the spiritual realms. And once you are connected with this field, you also have the protection, the strengths, and strength also means protection. So what I would like, that we open a sacred space. Or I will open sacred space for all of us, so that we are now all those people that are now here, and for those who will later listen to this journey, that we are all enveloped in this sacred space outside of time, outside of space. And I put my hands for you behind your shoulders. And you take a deep breath and let go all what you think now, all what has been concerning, what has been difficult for you for the day, and also the beautiful things, just let them go so that you are really now here in the very present moment. And I connect from above the golden and silver, thread, and I put it and bind it to your seventh chakra on the top of your head and connect from there the golden and silver thread that brings the yin and the yang energy from above, the sun and the moon, the masculine and the feminine, brings it into your energy body. And I connect it to the place behind your head on your neck, and I continue going down the spine with this golden and silver thread. I pass through your both legs and I come up with this golden and silver thread towards the area of your navel where I anchor it. And from there, I weave a black band from the front, going to the right side, to the back of your spine, on the level of the navel. And there I attach this black band. And I come in front again. And this black band is connected to the earth, to the fertile earth that we are all standing on. And as I also go with this black band to the left side of the body towards the back, I weave it in the energy body, and it represents all the structure, the bones, the muscles, the tendons that hold you in your body. So it's all these elements connected to the earth in your body and in the earth. And this black band is woven down under your feet like an eggshell. And it represents the element earth. And now I continue from the navel going up, upwards, towards the solar plexus, where I anchor the golden and silver thread again. And from there, I weave in the red band. This red band is representing the waters, the blood that is flowing in our body, all what is liquid, the rivers, the sea, the lakes, the rain. And I weave it to the right side of your body on the level of the solar plexus, and I pass it to the left side of the body. It represents the blood in our body. It represents all the fluids we have, the digestive fluids, the mucus, the urine. Everything is represented by this red band. And I connect now the silver and golden band going up to the level of our heart. And from there, I connect it with the golden band, going again to the right side of the body around towards the back where it is anchored again to the silver and golden band. And coming back, this golden band is representing the sun, the fire element, the heat, the warmth, the temperature that we have in our body. I continue weaving to the left side, to the back, anchoring it to the left on the back. And it represents our heart, all our hormonal system, everything that makes us feel warm from inside. And then I continue upwards with the golden and silver thread to the area of our throat. And from there, I weave into the right the silver band, the band that is connecting us to the wind, to the element wind, what we can ourselves express, the words that we express, the air that we breathe. And I connect it also to the left side, going to the golden and silver band that is behind our head. And this element of the wind, the oxygen in our lungs, all this is now woven in our energy field. And I go more upwards to the place of our third eye, and there weave in the white band, the white band of the space, of the spiritual realms that connects us to our becoming, that connects us to the spiritual world. And I put and weave it in also to the left side, anchor it to the back, again on the source, golden and silver thread, and come in front again. And this white band above the head is again like an eggshell. And what you can imagine now that you have these bands, and I weave them now one to each other, the black band to the red band, the red band around to the golden band, and the golden band to the silver band in your energy body, all around, so that there's no space in between. It's all nicely woven in. And the silver band to the white band. And as you make a deep, deep breath in, you feel how these bands are protecting you down the earth, where you can put any seed you want, and it will grow through the water, through the band, the red band of water. It will be nourished by this water, and this seed will grow, and the warmth of your golden band makes it even grow bigger and bigger until it gets fruits. And these fruits now, through the silver band, you can bring out to the world. You can speak it out. You can bring out what you really are, the seed that you have planted and that has grown inside of you because of these beautiful, strong elements. And you feel that the white band is surrounding you and that you are guided in this growth that comes from deep inside with the help of the elements. It will grow and you will spread it and it will protect you. Because where there is strength, there's no need to fear. And I will now close sacred space as this ritual is ending. I bring all the energies around in our eighth chakra. You can come back to the very moment. And what I would like you, once you have received this rite of the monarchy, this rite of the bands of power, it is something that is there and you can work with it and you can cultivate it, you can make it grow. Look that every day you concentrate on these bands. You make just 5 minutes for the next 21 days, the exercise of meditating over these bands, imagining that the black band is down, coming up with the red band, the golden, silver, and the white band around us. Just during your meditation, imagine these bands. And when you inhale, you feel how these bands come closer to you. And when you exhale, these bands expand. And when you inhale, you let them come closer. And when you exhale, you expand again. And you can also honor these elements during the day. You can say, today, this day, I want to honor my red band, the band of the water. And then whenever you shower, you remember that this is nourishing your red band. When you drink a glass of water, you are nourishing your own water element in your energy body, and it will be there for you. When you feel that you want to honor your golden band, whenever you see the sunlight, whenever you feel the warmth around you, whenever you look at a candle, whenever you turn on the light in a room, imagine that this is nourishing your golden band. There are so many ways of integrating them in your life and making them alive. And if you have taken the time to communicate, to put your intention on them, they will be there to protect you. And they are part of your energy body. And this is what I feel with the Maasai. When you see how they live, when you see their connection, you want to be part of this field where you are one with the elements. And this ritual for me that doesn't come from the Maasai, but from a completely different continent is at the end, reflecting what the Maasai are living and probably helping us to integrate it wherever we are in our lives. So, thank you that it came up spontaneously and that I was able to share it. It's always a big blessing if you can share this because I, for myself, I get a lot. So, thank you, Amy, for giving me this space.
A pleasure, a real pleasure. Thank you so much for that powerful, powerful and wise journey. Thank you. Thank you. Really an honor to have you with us. Oh, Cornelia, I know you have a free gift to share with the audience. So can you say a few words about your free gift and how can people contact you?
Yes, we have an email address, a website. Probably you can put it somewhere. www.africaminialama is our NGO.com. www.africaaminilife is the place where you can visit us. So we have this amazing original Maasai lodge where you can visit the Maasai and live with them. And my gift was to invite whoever comes to the lodge to have a visit to one of these very traditional Maasai healers to experience yourself what they have to tell about their life and their experiences. So it's something we normally don't provide, but it would be, I think, a very deep experience to get in touch with those Maasai medicine men that have centuries of experience. And he has his lineage that he is living now. It's a very old man, and I would like to connect you with him if you come and want to experience the energy of the Maasai.
Beautiful. Okay, so everyone, please connect with Cornelia, claim the free gift. So it's a great opportunity for you to connect with the Messiah medicine healers. Yeah, just amazing, gift you'll get from this from the wisdom of the medicine healer. So thank you so much. The links are available down below the interview. So do check out Cornelia's website and yeah, and claim your free gift. So thank you so much, Cornelia. This was an amazing session, amazing sacred space you held for everybody. So a real pleasure and honor to have you here with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you. And thank you everyone for attending, and I wish you all a beautiful day. Thank you and goodbye.